Welcome to Zikud Daf Siman Mem. I'm Avram Goldhar, and today I'm Maseches Erevin, Daf Yud. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Abai brings a brisa that taught that if a Mabui entranceway is wider than 10 amos, the Tanakama holds he must decrease the width, and Rabbi Yehuda says that he doesn't need to decrease its width. The Gemara inquires, how wide does Rabbi Yehuda permit a Mabui entrance to be? Rav Achai proposed in the presence of Rabbi Yosef that Rabbi Yehuda allows a Mabui entrance to be 13 1/3 amos wide from a Kav HaChomer, based on Rabbi Yehuda's view regarding Pasi Beiros, boards enclosing wells. If in the case of Pasi Beiros, in which it's allowed to have Parutz Meruba O Omed, the gaps larger than the walled portion, yet it is not allowed to have a gap more than 13 1/3 amos, then in the case of the Mavui, in which it's not permitted to have Parutz Meruba O Omed, all the more so it should not be permitted to have a gap more than 13 1/3 amos. The Gemara challenges this reasoning, saying that perhaps it was specifically in the case of Pasi Beiros, where we are lenient with Parutz Meruba O Omed, that we don't allow another leniency of wide gaps. But in the case of the Mavui, Rabbi Yehuda would permit even wider gaps. The Gemara then brings a second challenge, and the question of how wide Rabbi Yehuda permits the gap to be is left unresolved. Point number two, the Gemara is how to narrow a Mavui entrance that is too wide. Levi initially brings a brisa but rejects it. He then says to construct a board that is 10 tefachim high and 4 amos long, and stand it along the length of the Mavui, so that it extends from the midpoint of the entrance toward the back of the Mavui. This divides the front of the Mavui into two distinct Mavuis, each which has an entrance of no more than 10 amos. And point number three, Rabbi Yehuda says that if the Mavui entranceway is 15 amos wide, marchik shtei amos ve'osef pas shalosh amos, one leaves a space of 2 amos near the sidewall, and constructs a board that is 3 amos wide. This effectively closes off the entranceway, leaving an opening of 10. Similarly, says Rashi, one could apply the same method to both sides of a Mavui that is 20 amos wide. The Gemara asks why there's no concern that people might enter through the small entranceway that is formed in the 2 amah gap, which would invalidate the lechi and korah used in the main entrance. The Gemara answers, Chazake ein adam meniach pesach gadol v'nichnas bepesach katan. It can be assumed that a person will not abandon a large entranceway and enter instead through a small entranceway. Therefore, the main entranceway retains its status as the Mavui entrance. So once again, the three points are number one, Abai brings a brisa that taught that if a Mavui entranceway is wider than 10 amos, the Tanakama says he must decrease its width, and Rabbi Yehuda says that he doesn't need to decrease its width. The Gemara inquires, how wide does Rabbi Yehuda permit a Mavui entrance to be? Rav Achai proposed in the presence of Rabbi Yosef that Rabbi Yehuda allows a Mavui entrance to be 13 1/3 amos wide from a Kav HaChomer based on Rabbi Yehuda's view regarding Pasi Beiros, boards enclosing wells. If in the case of Pasi Beiros, in which it's allowed to have Parutz Meruba O Omed, the gap's larger than the walled portion, yet it's not allowed to have a gap more than 13 1/3 amos, then in the case of the Mavui, in which it's not permitted to have Parutz Meruba O Omed, all the more so it should not be permitted to have a gap more than 13 1/3 amos. So the Gemara challenges this reasoning, saying that perhaps it was specifically in the case of Pasi Beiros, where we are lenient with Parutz Meruba O Omed, that we don't allow another leniency of wide gaps. But in the case of the Mavui, Rabbi Yehuda would permit even wider gaps. The Gemara brings a second challenge, and the question of how wide Rabbi Yehuda permits the gap to be is left unresolved. Point number two, the Gemara asks how to narrow a Mavui entrance that's too wide. Levi initially brings a brisa but rejects it. He then says to construct a board that is 10 tefachim high and 4 amos long, and stand it along the length of the Mavui, so that it extends from the midpoint in the entrance to the back of the Mavui. This divides the front of the Mavui into two distinct Mavuis, each which has an entrance of no more than 10 amos. And point number three, Rav Yehuda says that if the Mavui entranceway is 15 amos wide, marchik shtei amos ve'osef pas shalosh amos, one leaves a space of 2 amos near the sidewall and constructs a board that is 3 amos wide. This effectively closes off the entranceway, leaving an opening of 10. Similarly, says Rashi, one could apply the same method to both sides of a Mavui that is 20 amos wide. The Gemara asks why there's no concern that people might enter through the small entranceway that is formed in the 2 amah gap, which would invalidate the lechi or korah used in the main entrance. The Gemara answers, Chazake ein adem meniach pesach gadol v'nichnas b'pesach katan. It can be assumed that a person will not abandon a large entranceway and enter instead through a small entranceway. Therefore, the main entranceway retains its status as the Mavui entrance. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Yud, and the Simfer Yud is a minion of Yidden, a minion of Yidden. So here goes. The Malchokas in the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance, that was wider than 13 1/3 Amos, led to their dividing the Mavui into two and insisting each minion use their own large entranceway. Once again, in slow motion. The Malchokas and the minion of Yidden. Minion of Yidden, that must be Moran Daf Yud. The Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance, that was wider than 13 1/3 Amos, which reminds the Ravachai's attempt to suggest the review permits a Mavui entrance to be a maximum of 13 1/3 Amos wide, based on a Kal Vachomer from Rabbi Yehuda's Shita regarding the maximum space for Pasei Beros. So the Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance, that was wider than 13 1/3 Amos, led to their dividing the Mavui into two, which reminds us of Levi's saying that the way to narrow a Mavui entranceway that is too wide is to construct a board that is 10 tefachim high and 4 amos wide and place it from the midpoint of the entranceway toward the back of the Mavui. So the Malchokas and the minion of Yidden davening at the Mavui entrance that was wider than 13 1/3 amos led to their dividing the Mavui into two and insisting each minion use their own large entranceway, which reminds us of Yehuda's method of narrowing an entranceway that is 15 amos wide by leaving a space of 2 amos from the sidewall and then constructing a board that is 3 amos wide. And there isn't a concern that people will enter through the narrow gap, since it's the chazak that people will always use the larger entranceway. So once again, the Malchokas and the minion of Yidden, davening at the Mavui entrance that was wider than 13 1/3 amos, led to their dividing the Mavui into two and insisting each minion use their own large entranceway. All right, now it's time for a 4 blah ba chazara. Daf Vav. So the Simfer Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The matador with the sword. Sword, that must be Moran Daf Vav. The matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall, which reminds us, there's a Malchokas Amarim regarding gaps in Mavui walls. Rav Chanan bar Rav said in the name of Rav, Mavui shen nifritz metzido be'eser amos marosh barba. A Mavui can have a maximum gap up until 10 amos in its side wall, as long as there's 4 tefachim of wall before the gap, but in the front wall, in a case, for example, where the Mavui had a 20 amos opening and was then closed up by a 10 amos wall, then 4 tefachim in that wall is the maximum breach. The Gemara asks why a breach in the front wall can't be up to 10 amos like a gap in the side wall and be considered an entrance. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, answered that when Rav Chanan stated a breach in the front, he was referring to a breach in the corner. Since people don't usually construct entrances in corners, it can't be considered an entrance. Instead, it's viewed as a gap that makes the Mavui puzzle. Rav Huna says, Echodzeba, Echodzeba Barba. In either case, whether the breach is in the sidewall or in the corner, a breach that is 4 tefachim wide puzzles the Mavui. So the matador with the sword who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent Mavui, which reminds us there's Malchokas regarding a Mavui Akum, a bent Mavui, which is an L-shaped Mavui that opens to the street on both ends. Rav says, Tarasuk Mefulash, its law is that of an open Mavui, meaning each leg is viewed as an open Mavui which requires a Tzuras HaPesach at one end and a Lechi or Kor at the other. Shmuel says, Tarasuk Kasasim, its law is that of a closed Mavui, and therefore all that is required is a Lechi or Kor at each end. So the matador with the sword, who escaped the raging bull by entering a gap in the corner of the front wall and running through a bent Mavui, was disqualified by the judge, whose opinion was always followed. Which reminds, the Gemara points out a contradiction of Bryce, which initially states, Lom halacha ka beis hillel, the halacha always follows beis hillel, and then states immediately afterwards, V'harotz lasus ki divrei beis shammai oseh, ki divrei beis hillel oseh. And one who wishes to act in accordance with beis shammai may do so, and one who wants to act in accordance with beis hillel may do so. So three answers are given. Number one, kan kodem bas kol, kan la'achar bas kol. The second part that states one can choose whom to follow was said before the Baskol stated that Beis Hillel's opinion should be followed, and the first statement was made after the Baskol. Answer number two, the first and second part were both stated after the Baskol. The second part, however, reflects the view of Rabbi Yeshua, who pays no heed to Baskols. And answer number three, the second part of the Braisa means to say that anywhere there's a Malchokas, just like the arguments that we find between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, whenever there's no authoritative ruling regarding who should be followed, one should not adopt the leniences of both, nor the stringencies of both, but rather one should adopt the leniences and stringencies of one Rebbe. In the case of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, however, this rule doesn't apply, since there was an authoritative ruling that Beis Hillel should be followed. Dav Zayin, so the Simfer Dav Zayin is a gun, a clay Zayin. Here goes. The discarded gun, that must be Moran Dav Zayin. The discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa, which reminds us, on Dav Vav Amavis, we learned that there was a Mavui Akum, a bent Mavui in Nardah, with three intersecting mabuis in the shape of the letter Ches. The residents followed the stringencies of both Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara asks how they could do so, for Braisa taught, Mechumre Beis Shammai or Mechumre Beis Hillel, one who follows the stringencies of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, all of a cause of Omer, Aksil B'choshech Holech. Regarding him, it said, the fool goes in darkness. So our Dav, Rav Shevzi, explains that the Braisa's rule not to follow the stringencies of two authorities only applies Hekad Asasri Hadadi, where they contradict each other. As an example, the Gemara brings a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding how much of a spine or skull must be missing for them not to impart Tumah in an Ohel. Beis Shammai's shiur is larger than Beis Hillel's, making him the more stringent opinion. When the same shiurim are applied to determining when an animal is considered a treifa, Beis Hillel's smaller shiur makes him more stringent. So the chumra and kulot regarding Tumah results in the opposition in the case of a treifa. This is what the Braisa was referring to. In the case of the Mavui Akum in Narada, the stringencies did not contradict each other. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and treifa, in a Mavui that opened to two Rishus Rabbins, which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, that when the Tanakam and Hananya argued regarding the adjustments of a Mavui Mafulish, it was only when the Mavui opened on both ends into Rishus Rabbim with the Raisa, such as a Sratya, a public thoroughfare, or a Platya, a public square, that Hananya required a door at one end. But if the Mavui opened into a public thoroughfare at one end, and a field, which is not Midaraisa, on the other end, or it opened into fields on both ends, then even Hananya agrees that Osetzur is a Pesach Mekan, Velechi Mekor Mekan. One constructs a Tzur is a Pesach at one opening, and a Lechi or Korah at the other opening. So the discarded gun found at the crime scene on top of the spine and trefa in a Mavui that opened to two Rishus of Rabbims had the fingerprints of the bandit, who was caught in the back lot. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda, if a Mavui opened into Rishus of Rabbim on one end, Imayakalo Rochova, but at the other end it terminated into a back lot, which in turn opened to Rishus of Rabbim, Ein Sar Chum. It doesn't require any adjustment at all on the back lot side, but only a Lechir Kor at the end where it opens directly into Rishus of Rabbim, like any closed Mavui. Abai said to Rav Yosef that this ruling of Yehuda reflects the ruling of Shmuel and not Rav, as it contradicts Rav in two ways. One seeming contradiction is that Rav rules Mavui Shenifritz B'mlo Ochatzer, a Mavui that was breached along its entirety, leaving it completely open to a Chatzer, the Nifritz Chatzer Kenegdo, and the far wall of the Chatzer was breached opposite the Mavui, opening the Chatzer into Rishus Rabbim, Chatzer Muteris U'Mavui Aser. Carrying in the Chatzer is permitted, carrying in the Mavui is prohibited unless adjustments are made. The Gemara resolves this contradiction as well as the second one. Daf Ches. So the Simper Daf Ches is a challah. So here goes. The challah baking contest, that must mean we're on Daf Ches. The challah baking contest held in a Mavui between a trash heap and the sea, which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Ravada said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak that there was an incident concerning a Mavui Shetzido Echel Challah Yam. One side terminated to the sea, but Tzido Echel Challah Ashba, and one side terminated at a trash heap. And when the matter was brought before Rabbi, he wouldn't rule. He didn't want to forbid it because the sea and trash heap do indeed serve as mechitzos. However, he didn't want to permit carrying it in either because he was concerned that the trash heap could be removed or that the sea might bring up sediment, in which case the slope won't be sufficiently steep to serve as a wall. The Gemara questioned whether there's a concern that the trash heap will be removed, citing a mission that states, if there's a trash heap in Rishus HaRabim, which is 10 Tfachim high and therefore it's Rishus HaYachid, one may throw into it from a window above. Rashi explains that there's no concern that people remove the trash, resulting in someone throwing the trash down into the Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is referring to a public trash heap, where there's no concern that it'll be removed, whereas the incident with Rabbi involved a private trash heap, which one might come to remove. So the challah baking contest held in a Mavui between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal cords, which reminds us, there's machlokes regarding Mavui Shetzido Echad Aruch, Tzido Echad Katzar, a Mavui whose one side was long and its other side short. According to one opinion, if the difference between the two sides is less than Dalet Amos, then one may place the cord diagonally. However, if the difference in length is Dalet Amos or more, then he may place the cord only opposite the short side at a right angle. Rav said, regardless of the difference of length between the two sides, he can only place the cord opposite the short side. Rav went on to explain the Machlokes by saying that he holds the function of the Korah as a hecker, and when placed diagonally, it doesn't serve as a reminder. Rashi explains that the longer side doesn't appear as part of the Mavui. According to the other opinion, however, the purpose of the Korah is to serve as a mechitza, and a korah on a diagonal is a functional mechitza. So the challah baking contest held in a mavu between a trash heap and the sea was jammed with families rooting their mothers on, sitting on diagonal korahs, and korahs placed on pegs. Which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama asked Rav Chisda the following question. What's the din if one thrusts two pegs into the two outside walls of a mavui and places a korah on top of the pegs so that the inner edge of the korah was rested against the outside walls? Rav Chisda answered that according to the one who permits carrying under a korah because the outer edge serves as a mechitza, it would be forbidden to carry within such a mavui, since in this case, the mechitza is considered removed from the mavui. According to the one who holds that one cannot carry under a korah because the inner edge functions as a mechitza, it would be permitted to carry within such a mavui because in this case, the mechitza is at the wall of the mavui. Rava holds that it is forbidden according to everyone since the requirement of a korah is that it rests on top of the mavui. Daf Tes, so the symbol for Daf Tes is a teapot. So here goes. The eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui poured tea from his teapot. Teapot, that must be more on Daf Tes. The eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui, which reminds us, Rav Adar Bar Masna challenged Rava's position that a korah needs to be on top of the walls of a mavui from a braisa that states, when a korah is meshucho etzuya, when a beam is drawn away from the mavui, meaning that the beam is drawn towards the rishus rabim and not on top of the walls of the mavui, or suspended above the mavui, meaning that its two ends don't reach the walls, if it's within three tefachim, the mavui is permitted. The Gemara answers that the case of meshuch is referring to a korah that is above the walls of the mavui, but doesn't reach across to the other side of the mavui. And the case of a tluya is where the korah doesn't reach the walls on both sides. The Brice has stated both cases to teach the principle of lava not only applies on one side, but it can be applied to both sides simultaneously. Ravashi says that the Brice is referring to a case of meshucha vehi tluya, a single case where the korah doesn't reach either side of the mavui and is also suspended above them, supported by two L-shaped pegs. The Brice is coming to teach that we can apply the leniencies of Ravud and Chavot simultaneously. Chavot allows us to view the Korah as if it's positioned between the two walls instead of suspended above them. So the eccentric sitting on top of a Korah suspended above the Mavui poured tea from his teapot in front of the Lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan rejected Rabbi Zakkai's teaching that the area opposite a Lechi or under a Korah is judged to be a karmelis in which carrying is forbidden. Abai said that Rabbi Yochanan only disagreed regarding the area under the korah, but he does agree with the area opposite the lechi that is forbidden. Rava said that Rabbi Yochanan also disagreed regarding the lechi and holds that it is permissible to carry opposite it. Rava said that his position is derived from a statement made in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that it's permissible for people in Rishus of Rabbim or Rishus Yachid to carry into Makom Patur, an insignificant area that is less than Dalad by Dalad Fachim, that is between them, provided they don't afterwards transfer the object into the other Rishus. Similarly, the area opposite the lechi is insignificant, and people should be able to carry opposite it. Abai responds that that case was where the Makom Patur was raised three tefachim above the level of the Rishus Rabim, which makes it distinct from the Rishus Rabim. The Gemara continues with Abai bringing the source for his position. So the eccentric sitting on top of a korah suspended above the mavui poured tea from his teapot in front of the lechi to remind people it was forbidden to carry there, especially when the lechi couldn't be seen from the inside. Which reminds us, it was said regarding a lechi, nira mebifni, v'shava b'mechutz, if it's visible from the inside and flush on the outside, nido mishum lechi, it's judged to be a valid lechi. However, regarding nira mebechutz, v'shava b'mechutz, a lechi that's visible from the outside and flush on the inside, it's a malchuk between Rabbi Chi and Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rebbe, whether it's a valid lechi. The one who says that it is invalid holds, the lechi is not fulfilling its primary function, which remind those in the mavui not to carry into Rishus Rabbim. The one who says that it is valid holds that people in Rishus Rabim can see it, and even those in the Mavui can see it when they step out of the Mavui. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches, Brachos, and Shabbos. Number 1, which daf do we have a Malchus regarding a Lechi that is Nira Mebechutz V'Shaba Mebefnim? That's on daf Tes. Good. Number 2, which daf do we have a Malchus whether diagonal korahs are permitted in a case where one side of a Mavui is longer than the other? That's on daf Ches. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn that a breach in the front corner of a mavui cannot be more than 4 tefachim? That's on daf Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn one cannot follow the chumras of two authorities when the rulings contradict one another? That's on daf Zion. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we have malchlokas regarding what Rabbi Yochanan holds regarding carrying opposite alechi? That's on daf test. Good number six. Which stuff they learned that there's a chazak that people won't abandon a large entranceway to use a smaller one. That's on Daf Yud. Good number seven. Which stuff they learned what the din is for a korah meshucha utalui. That's on Daf Test. Good number eight. Which stuff they learned that you cannot derive how wide Rabbi Yehuda permits a mavi entrance to be from the Kal Vachomer from Pasi Beiraos. That's on Daf Yud. Good number nine. Which stuff we have Malchok is whether a Mavli Akum has the din of a Mavli Mafuash or a Mavli Sasum. That's on Daf Vav. Good. And number 10. Which stuff we have Malchok is whether it's permitted to have a kor rest on the pegs thrust into the outside walls of a Mavli. That's on Daf Ches. Good. Now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which stuff do we learn about the wisdom of Betzalel? That's on Daf Nunhei and Brachos. Good. Number two. Which stuff do we learn? Tamaz Chus Abos. That's on Daf Nunhei and Shabbos. And number three. Which stuff do we learn that one should not set sail 3 days before Shabbos unless it's for a purpose of a mitzvah? That's on Daf Yutes and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.